Well may we say, God save the Queen, because nothing will save the Governor General.
You know I've searched my heart to prove there's better ways to push and pull. Hey, whatever gets you through these days.
Hello, this is not a full episode of Well May We Say. Nope, this is just Jeremy, late in the night, contemplating going to bed, and inadvertently opening an article in which Tony Abbott declares what he wants the government to do. And this thing is so bonkers and so infuriating, I'm going to have to do a mini episode just for a moment just to talk about it. And look, this is in a day where we've also had a bunch of idiots out there declaring that housing is fine. And this is, when I say a bunch of idiots, this is everyone from your token young person that the Murdoch press have found, that Mr. Bond, 17-year-old, who's writing, declaring that the world doesn't owe you a house. And of course houses are expensive. They've always been expensive. And of course you should have a high income if you want to buy a house. Michael Sucker, my local MP here in Blackburn, declaring that having a high income is the first step to buying a house. Which is a staggering change from the way it was, say, 20, 30 years ago, where it wasn't just people on very high incomes who could buy houses. In fact, previous generations of Liberal leaders, in fact, thought it was a very good idea if everybody could aspire to own a house, including the people who are not at the highest end of the income scale. Ordinary workers were able to buy a house. You would take out a 20, 30-year mortgage, but you would be able to buy a house. That's not the case now. And I'd like people to spread, anybody who's listening to this, if you could spread this challenge far and wide, because have you noticed that whenever the Conservatives talk about how it's still perfectly affordable to buy a house, you've just got to save hard, you've just got to give up your smashed avocados and you're buying your iPhone every 6 months. Who buys an iPhone every 6 months? What are they talking about? Anyway, they can never find an actual example. And they try really hard. They find some young person who has a slew of investment properties by the time they're 20. But A, they bought them several years ago now. B, they've all stayed at home and had giant gifts from their parents or had their parents go security or received an inheritance. None of them have started from scratch and saved up from scratch. If you can find, because News Limited hasn't been able to, the real estate sections of Fairfax and News haven't been able to, the Liberal Party haven't been able to, nobody has been able to find this person. And it shouldn't be that much of a challenge if the housing market is the way it used to be. Find me a single person who has bought their first home in Melbourne or Sydney in the last 2 years off their own bat, without a gift from their parents, without their parents being security, without an inheritance. Somebody who has, in the last 2 years, saved up their own money from working and bought a house in Melbourne or Sydney. The first house, not from equity they have in an existing house. Certainly used to be something you could do. Nobody can find that person. It should not be that hard if housing was not profoundly broken. The fact that they can't find that person is your evidence that housing is broken. Like, it's all very well to be saying to people, just go around and just save. But people aren't even, people always had to save to get a deposit on a house. But now it's totally futile. People, whatever they're saving, the house prices are going ahead faster than they can save it. Now, Dick Smith might be popping up this week saying, it's immigrants! And the idiot we're about to talk about will say, it's immigrants. Except, of course, the house prices did not skyrocket when there was suddenly a peak in immigration. There wasn't a peak in immigration in the late 90s when the vicious circle of house prices going up, investors saying, oh, heck, I'm missing out on that, pouring more money in, pushing prices up further, more investors coming in, buying, filling it with investment money. That spiral that started back when Howard halved capital gains tax with Peter Costello, That's what set it off. They didn't create negative gearing. Negative gearing was already in place. But because of negative gearing and the way that that works with helping people reduce their income in terms of rent, in terms of income losses, so people could negatively gear, make losses on the rent and still be making a lot of money on the capital growth, that was set off by Howard and Costello halving capital gains tax. That's what did it. That's why the, that's how this thing began. And once it had begun, the more investors that went into it, the more house prices went up. So the more investors came into it. Where nobody, if you had investment money, why would you put it anywhere other than housing at the moment? Might as well. It's the only thing that's growing. Like, that's what's broken. And the only thing that will fix it is undoing that, stopping that. And they don't want to do it. So they're trying to make you think that it's supply. Yes, because the solution to people filling the housing market with money is to remove whatever green wedges or whatever remaining limits there were on development. Why not just create a huge urban hellscape with no infrastructure that just extends as far as the eye can see? Won't reduce prices because people will still pour investment money in there, but it'll certainly make all of our cities even less livable. And the point of it is, the fact that there aren't enough people to fill those houses, because it's not like there's been a sudden massive increase in the population to the extent that it explains the housing price increase. But the people who are, that's why there's so many empty units in the cities, because there should be a taxation penalty for sitting on vacant housing stock, but there isn't. There's all these houses that are completely empty, and that's fine because the people who own them don't care because all of those losses that they're getting from not having tenants, they write off their income. If you are wealthy enough, that's a worthwhile thing to do. So that happened today. And I foolishly listened to the Party Room podcast with Fran Kelly, and it had Annabelle Crabb on it. And they were talking about Michael Sacker, my local MP down here in Melbourne, who is the Liberals' person to talk, who's supposed to have responsibility for addressing housing, and is saying all you need is, what you need to do is have, it's not the whole thing, he said, he conceded that, but you just need to have a high-paying job. So basically housing only for the very, very rich. Even on a high-paying job, I don't think you're getting a house anymore. And you've got people like Psycho who are like, well, I had two houses by the time I was 30 or 35. Yeah, he didn't buy them in the last 2 years. Things have gotten worse. You've got all these people who bought just before we jumped over the chasm where it's no longer affordable at all, going, oh, well, I managed it. Well, it's gotten worse since then. And if you can't notice that, then you probably shouldn't be the government's special person addressing housing affordability. Meanwhile, Tony Abbott, our ex-prime minister, has his own plans for what the government should be doing about all of this. This is Tony Abbott today. And I will read it out without commenting on it first and then go back to it. He wants the Liberals to take this approach. In short, he said, why not say to the people of Australia, we'll cut the RET to help with your power bills, we'll cut immigration to make housing more affordable, we'll scrap the Human Rights Commission to stop official bullying, we'll stop all new spending to end ripping off our grandkids, and we'll reform the Senate to have government, not gridlock. Every one of those is terrifying and stupid. So, first, we'll cut the RET, the renewable energy target, to help with your power bills. Well, the Liberals' own study in 2014, as I have repeatedly pointed out and we linked from the podcast last week, showed that cutting the RET would exacerbate your power bills. It would make your energy costs higher over time. So Tony Abbott cutting the RET, great news for coal generators, bad news for everybody else, including people who consume electricity. Like that thing there. Why not say to the people of Australia, we'll cut the RET to help with your power bills? Tony Abbott was Prime Minister in 2014 when the Liberals had their research, the ACL Allen research, that showed that was the reverse of the reality. And he's spouting it now. Like, just shameless. He is a shameless liar. What was the second thing? We'll cut immigration to make housing more affordable. So he's doing that along with Dick Smith. We rich people are buying up all the housing stock and forcing you to pay exorbitant rents, young people. But don't look at us. Look at that immigrant over there. Immigrants are not responsible for house prices going high. Now, I know that in a bunch of expensive areas. You'll have groups of people from overseas who are trying to park their money, taking advantage of the overheated Australian housing market. But they're not what caused it, and they're not. And if they went away, it wouldn't remove the problem. The problem is the amount of investment money in housing, not that some of it's owned by people from overseas. That is a nonsense solution, but it's a shameless attempt to divert attention away from what the cause is, which is rich people exploiting the rest of us, and refusing to let anything happen to the broken tax mix that created that problem, because they don't want to lose their money. So why not just pointed a convenient scapegoat that sounds, you know, but you can always get people to be afraid of foreigners. Why not blame them? Well, I mean, it won't help you, because even if you got rid of them all, that's not the problem. We'll scrap the Human Rights Commission to stop official bullying. Now, that's code that makes no sense unless you are within the far-right bubble, where what that means is, we'll get rid of the Human Rights Commission because they enforce the Racial Discrimination Act, which we don't like them doing. And in particular, we're thinking of those Queensland University of Technology students who really objected to the idea of there being an Aboriginal computer room, because apparently they don't understand why it might be that you might need some kind of affirmative action to assist really disadvantaged people. And where they were accused of saying some very racist things indeed on Facebook, but denied having said it. And then for some reason pulled out of the case just before there was an opportunity for the ISP records to be subpoenaed that would have definitely cleared their name about those racist things. In the far right, that whole incident is official bullying. It's a tyrannical government bureaucracy picking on good old values-driven, ordinary white Australians who have contempt for Indigenous people. We'll stop all new spending to end ripping off our grandkids. Now, we know what Tony means by that, because he was the Prime Minister when the 2014 budget was shoved in. What he means is, we will starve the young people, we will massively increase the cost of higher of their tertiary education, we will reduce their, we'll cut everybody who's 22 to 24 who's unemployed from Newstart down to the even less livable youth allowance, and we'll make young people wait a month before being able to access income support in terms of Social Security. So we're going to save young people. Well, sorry, all the way while wrecking housing for them forever. So, we're kicking you young people now, and, you know, as boomers, getting rich off the settings that we're putting in place. But we're doing it to help you in the long term, because we wouldn't want to leave you a deficit. I mean, sure, our revenue cuts are what created the deficit, but what about if we kick you hard in the face to try and make up for the revenue cuts so that there's less of a tax bill in the future? It's insane. And the last one is breathtaking. We'll reform the Senate to have government, not gridlock. Now, I would like to say that there is Buckley's of the Libs being able to change the Constitution to change the makeup of the Senate. But then again, I would have said it's Buckley's that Tony Abbott's ever going to be Prime Minister, and that's happened. So it's still scary. So now that they're in power and they have a majority of seats in the House of Representatives, although only by one, as a result of getting, I think it was 44% of the primary vote in the lower house, other parties got 65% of the vote in the Senate. The Libs only got 35%. But they figure that with their 46% or 44% in the lower house and their 35% in the upper house, they should be able to ram through legislation that everybody else opposes. And that's what they think is democracy. So they have an ex-Prime Minister, a man who wants to be Prime Minister again, declaring that what should really happen is we should just get rid of the House of Review. Because it's undemocratic for senators representing 65% of the population to block senators representing 35% of the population. Now, yes, it is true that the Senate is not hugely democratic in the sense that it is a fixed representative number per state, and obviously that means that your vote is worth more in Tasmania than it is in New South Wales. However, as it happens, because they don't have single-member electorates, it turns out that because people vote on party basis, not on state basis to a large extent, it actually works out that the Senate ends up being a lot more representative of the electorate than the House of Reps, where you might have be a party that might get 12% of the vote spread across the country and get zero seats. So what have we learned? We've learned that Tony Abbott and what he wants to do to the country is based on lies and making the place worse. And they're breathtaking lies. I mean, the renewable energy target one that they genuinely want to run. The idea that this year the Libs want to run energy where they have no sensible policy. They have a direct action plan which costs a huge amount of money, is not reduced. They're pushing our emissions are going up where they were going down under the carbon price. Like, they've got no plan to deal with that. And they're reduced to saying things that they know are profoundly untrue, such as that cutting the RET will somehow cut energy prices, which is not true from their own study. And housing affordability, where all they're offering is, well, we'll make more supply available as if we didn't have a whole lot of empty houses in the centre of Melbourne, for example, because or empty units or empty apartments in the city, because the problem isn't supply. The problem is the investment model. And they're picking those as their issues this year. That should definitely backfire. I hope it backfires. Meanwhile, please spread the challenge far and wide. Last 2 years, Melbourne and Sydney, somebody buying a first home without being gifted money by the parents in inheritance or having their parents be security. Good luck finding it. I'm not even doing the Andrew Bolt thing of name 10. I just want them to find one. And you know what? Like the climate thing, this is not even entirely I want to be right. Like, I would like to re-enter the housing market at some point. I would like to be wrong. I would like to know that it is in fact possible. Because anybody who is looking at it as and considering trying to get into it is filled with despair because it seems impossible when wages are not keeping track with inflation, when there is no way to save faster than the house prices are increasing. Your convenient right-wing shills can tell you that all you've got to do is save hard. But when people are looking at that and knowing that that's actually completely futile and it doesn't matter how hard they save, they're not going to get there. That's a problem. But I'd love to be wrong. I'd love you to be able to find this hypothetical person because they can be our shining example of how we can do it. But I'm beginning to think that there is no such person because if there was, then the Libs would not be and News Limited would not be constantly coming out with these very flimsy examples. It's like the climate thing. I would really like to be wrong on that. I'd like us to have a magic atmosphere that we can do whatever, we can pour whatever we like into it and it will have no effect and we'll all be fine. And I'd like all the record-breaking temperatures that we've been seeing, record-breaking climate events that we've been seeing to just be a complete coincidence. It's just I'm not gullible enough to convince myself that that's true. Anyway, we'll try and do a full podcast on the weekend because we've also got to talk about penalty rates and so forth. But in the meantime, I just had to get this one up because that manifesto from Abbott is one of the most infuriating things I could possibly imagine reading at night. So I figured you needed it in your ears as well. Enjoy. See you next time.